Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm the host, Rick Hughes. And for the next 30 minutes, please stay tuned, because this could be, in fact, it very well may be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. This show, The Flatline, brought to you every Sunday at this time on your radio station, is always about motivation, inspiration, and indeed education, and it's always done without manipulation. That means we have no hidden agendas here, nothing that we're trying to sell you, not trying to get you to join anything. We're just here to give you some accurate information, no useless speculation. This show is about helping you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you want to orient and adjust to that plan, you have the freedom, you have the privacy to do so. If this is your first time to listen to the FLOT line, FLOT stands for the Forward Line of Troops, F-L-O-T. That's a military acronym. One of the concepts that we teach on this show is how the outside pressure of adversity is inevitable, but the inside pressure of stress is optional. And so if you learn God's wonderful problem-solving devices, and we've encased those into 10 problem-solving devices, and by the way, this is something that my pastor taught many, many years ago. I'm not original with this. This is information that I've learned from him. And as you take this information and deploy it into the forward compartment of your souls, then you can, in fact, stop the outside pressure of adversity from being converted to the inside pressure of stress. So what we're saying is adversity is inevitable, stress is optional. And the way that we avoid stress is by learning God's problem-solving devices and using them in our life every day. And that's why on this radio show we're always about accurate information, not useless speculation. We're always about what the Word of God says. It's not a Christian call-in show. It's not a dialogue. It's a monologue. But it is a monologue full of accurate information. Not the greatest presenter in the world. I realize that. You know, I'm not that sort of person. But here's the deal. It's not about me. It's about the message. The man's not important. It's not the man. It's the message that's important. So if you stay with me, if you listen, you're going to learn some phenomenal problem-solving devices. You're going to see the procedure that's involved in living the protocol plan of God. And you're going to understand what it means to tap into all the resources that God has for you. Not only in heaven, but now, while you're on this earth. You're not in heaven yet. If you're listening to my voice, you're not in heaven yet. I'm not there, so you're not there. But we are living in the devil's world. And we have the opportunity in the devil's world to fulfill the plan of God by learning the protocol system. And that's why Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. There's no doubt that we have a system, that God has a system that he wants us to learn. And that's why he tells us to study, to show ourselves approved. Men and women that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Where would I be ashamed? Well, at the judgment seat of Christ. Can you think of anything that would be any more shameful than to show up at the judgment seat of Christ as a believer? I mean, you're going to heaven. You're going to be there. That's not the issue. But to realize that you wasted your life, that you blew it, that you never took time to learn God's system, that you never effectively represented Jesus Christ during your time on this earth, that you never represented Christ by means of your life, that you blew it, that you made it a lot harder than it actually was. You see, you can take on the character assets of Christ. It's called the filling of the Holy Spirit, and it's called love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. All of this found in Galatians 5:22. You make it harder than it actually is because you fail to learn the plan of God, and you go bullheaded into the devil's world trying to butt your way around. No wonder you get your brains beat out every week. No wonder you feel like somebody hit you upside the head with a baseball bat. And sometimes it may just in fact be discipline from God trying to get your attention. because you're living under AI, artificial intelligence, a combination of arrogance and ignorance. And so this radio show is designed to give you accurate information, and if you have enough humility to learn the information and apply it, then you can orient to the grace of God and have a phenomenal life in spite of any difficulties that you may be encountering along the way. Because Job said, "This is the day the Lord has made. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Someone once told me that blessings come and blessings go, but the source remains the same. And the source is the faithfulness of our God to supply our every need, because He promised if we would seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He said, "I'll add all these other things to you." And the most frustrating thing in the world is to ignore God and His kingdom. To ignore, in other words, the mandates and the procedures found in the Bible, and to go off down the my way highway and try to do it yourself. And the most frustrating thing is to get into organized religion and follow the system of evil that Satan has devised, only to find out that you're not glorifying God at all. You're just going through ritual with no reality to it, and it's totally meaningless. And this is why 99% of the people in the world that are confronted with organized religion reject it. They want nothing to do with it because they see the inconsistency. They see the phoniness. They see the shallowness of the people that claim to love the Lord and the people that claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. And then they see their lives and they say, "If that's a Christian, I don't want to have anything to do with them." You can't blame them, can you? Now listen, I want to make this clear to you. As we go through this radio show from time to time, some of you email me or write me and somehow I may misplace it or not get it. And if you didn't get an answer from me, I want you to try again, please, because I know there have been times when I've lost some emails. So write me back, please, on my email and I'll try to make sure that I'm able to get it. And if you'd like to have some of our material, we have all sorts of stuff available. On our website, you just simply go to www.bigrick.org, bigrick.org, and there you can see the books that we have available free of charge. You'll be glad to send them to you. And if you'd like to have the book on Christian problem solving that identifies these 10 wonderful problem solving devices, just drop us an email or send us a hard letter. Be sure to include your return address, and we'll get it out right away to you with no charge whatsoever. It's just a free gift, so just let us know. We'll get it to you. And we can also provide you with MP3s of some of these past radio shows, as well as you can go to our website and listen to them. They're on our website under schedule. And if you have a computer with a set of speakers, you can click on it and listen to any of our past radio shows that are cataloged there on the website. So it's your choice. It's kind of up to you. We have been studying something, and the last radio show we started it, and we're going to carry it on for the next few weeks. We've started a look at what is evil, E-V-I-L. We've started a look at evil, and we started that from a scripture verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, where the Bible, correctly translated, says that we are to love without hypocrisy, and we are to abhor what is evil, and to bond ourselves or cling to what is good. And so we got into a study of what is evil. And I began to show you some very short principles. Number one, that verse is a very short but a powerful verse. And it says essentially that love must be without hypocrisy, must not be two-faced, must not be false, must not have faked your credentials when you say you love God. And that you should stay away from evil. The Bible is very clear about that. And we're identifying what evil is. And that we should cling to good. And we'll identify what good is as well. So we got into a doctrine called the doctrine of evil. We're explaining to you what is evil in the Bible. And this may shock you that I said last week that evil is a system. Evil is a system. It's called the genius of Satan. God's genius is called grace, and under the grace concept, for example, you're saved by faith, but under the evil concept, it's a rewards-based system, and so you're saved by doing something, but that's not the way God works. God says in the Bible, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God and not of works, lest any man should brag about it." And in regards to evil, the Bible, Jesus made a prophetic statement and said, in that day being the day of evaluation, he said, "Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did I not do this and I not do that?" And he said, "I will tell them, I never knew you." See, that's what evil will get you. Evil, under the concept of a rewards-based system, is best known as religion. And religion will tell you that you're going to go to heaven because you joined up. Are you going to go to heaven because you got baptized? Are you going to go to heaven because you don't drink, dance, smoke, or chew? Or you're going to go to heaven because you tithe? Are you going to go to heaven because you live a certain lifestyle? And that is not what the Bible says, not at all. The Bible says, "He that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." It's just that simple. So evil is the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world. It's his method of operation. It's his modus operandi. And number two, evil attempts to produce a system of good. That's what evil tries to do. Not a system of bad. Now, we always think in terms of evil, that's evil or that's bad, and good is good. You know, you've heard of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. But both of them were Satan's system. Good is human good, and evil is the system that produces human good. The good in the Garden of Eden was the fig leaves. It was Adam and Eve trying to cover up their nakedness. The evil in the garden was following Satan's system and being seduced by Satan into believing that God was actually deceiving them. Eve would believe that God was actually deceiving her and not wanting her to know everything. And Satan seduced her with this lie. So evil attempts to produce a system of good in mankind and in society. And under the concept of evil, see, now keep this in mind. I don't want to get too complicated here, but I just tell you, Satan doesn't want to go to the lake of fire. He knows it's a real place, and he does not want to go there. And the only way that he can get out of going there is to appeal his case to God the Father in eternity past when he was condemned to the lake of fire. And in fact, he did appeal. And you and I are part of that appeal process. And so if he can set up a utopia on this earth, if he can produce a society that would bring in a sort of pseudo-millennium, then he could prove that God was unfair in condemning him to the lake of fire, or man who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ to the lake of fire. But it's not possible. So evil, and evil being religion, would attempt to produce a society of good in mankind. You're going to see this in your lifetime. You're going to see all sorts of things in the future. You know about the Antichrist, and you know about the 666, you've heard about that, although now you're not going to be here when that happens. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you will not be here when the mark of the beast is distributed, because you would have been raptured, or the exit resurrection would have already taken place before that happens. You'll be in heaven at the wedding feast of the Lamb of God, and you're the bride, you're the church, and you'll come back with him as he sets up his millennial kingdom. You will be here in a physical body, a resurrection body, on the earth, at least for 1,000 years. And what a phenomenal time that will be. But Satan's system, called evil, is the system that he administers rulership of this world with. Since he cannot restrain sin, he can't do that. Let me say this again. God gave you volition. God gave you the right to choose. And just as God does not restrain you from sinning, Satan cannot keep you from sinning either. So what he does is Satan attempts to convert human good into sin and evil. Satan attempts or converts human good into sin and evil. He cannot restrain you from sinning. When you sin, it vindicates God because it proves God's case. You know, "For by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, and now death is passed on all, for all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death." See, Satan would say that's unfair. It's unfair that you created man to sin. However, God didn't create man to sin. God created man with a choice. And man made a decision. And then God made a decision. I will resolve the sin problem. I will allow my son to come and become humanity, to take on corporeality and to die for the sin of the world. And in fact, Christ did that. Now, evil, when we're talking about evil, evil has two sources. One of the sources of evil is sin. Sin. And sin is erroneous thinking or deeds. For example, arrogance can be sin. And you rarely hear people talk about this. If you'll think back about this, when's the last time you heard a pastor talk about arrogance? Or a pastor teach on arrogance? Can you remember that? See, what is arrogance? Well, it involves three things. It is self-justification. It's you justifying why you're right. And it's self-deception. It's you deceiving yourself. And it's self-absorption. It's you becoming totally immersed in that deed or action. And it always leads into self-destruction. So sin is, in fact, evil. But evil may be some sort of human good, and not necessarily sin, but some sort of erroneous thinking or some sort of self-righteousness. And I don't know if you heard me say this a couple of shows ago, but all sin is evil, but all evil is not sin. It's a very deep statement if you think about it. Evil is a system. It's the genius of Satan. Organized religion is evil. That doesn't mean that it's sin. It's not sin to go to church. But when a person thinks that going to church is going to get him saved, or when a person thinks that when he does or observes certain ritualistic taboos, that means he's going to be saved. And see, that's evil. That's the genius of Satan. So when the sin of self-righteousness, and that's what the evil person does, he gets very self-righteous about his life, and especially his religious life, when he has this erroneous thinking in his mind. Let me try to say this for you again. When the sin of self-righteousness plus the erroneous thinking of human viewpoint, now that's artificial intelligence, arrogance, and ignorance. When you combine these two things together, then you have the saturation of evil within a nation. Arrogance and ignorance. Arrogance, self-justification. Ignorance, that is rejection of the plan of God, rejecting anything to do with God, and trying to come up with some human viewpoint concept or system as to why something is like it is, instead of what the Bible says. So if Satan is not capable of controlling the world that he rules, and he is not, then neither can any mortal human being. And yet politicians buy into this human viewpoint thinking all the time. You know, if you elect me, then I'll make all the problems go away and no child will be left behind. And we'll put a chicken in everybody's pot and we'll make legislation and we'll legislate morality and we'll get rid of all the bad people and we'll take away all the guns so you can't hurt each other anymore, yada, 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 yada. You see, listen, if Satan can't control the world, no politician can control it either. In this world, we are full of people that have sin-infused human natures. So all solutions to the problem that mankind faces depend on the imputation of God's righteousness at salvation, not on somebody being reformed or somebody straightening up and flying right for a while, and then he goes back and he does the bad stuff again. See, that's what evil. Evil is going to teach you that you can reform this guy, and he's not going to do any bad stuff anymore. And now he's done his time, and now he's reformed, and then they let him out, and he goes out and murders again. He goes out and molests again, or whatever. And it doesn't happen every time, but in fact it can happen, and does happen quite often. And so that's the evil concept behind that education can reform someone. The only thing that can truly reform anyone is salvation, not education. And when we believe in Jesus Christ, we still have a sin-infused human nature. That doesn't mean that we still can't sin again. But it means that we are, in fact, born again, and we are a new creature, and we do have a choice. And that old sin nature is cut away from controlling our life. So if Satan is not capable of controlling the world that he rules, then neither can any mortal human being, especially some politician. Now, we're talking about a system called evil. And the most evil system in the world is the cosmic system. It's the way the world thinks. The cosmic system, we call it sometimes the void, the V-O-I-D, the cosmic vortex. It's the void. It's the way the world thinks. And it does not have any human viewpoint. Any divine viewpoint. So let's just say the cosmic system, the world, the system of evil that Satan devises has no divine viewpoint. And that's exactly what the world wants to do today. They want to take away all divine viewpoint from the public arena. It's strange in the United States of America, the country in which we live. It's strange, but we have politicians and organizations that seek to marginalize God today. And I think I probably know why, because they're sick and tired of the weirdos that try to represent God from time to time in the public arena. And so no wonder they try to marginalize God and get rid of the weirdos. But this happens. And so this cosmic system of the world's thinking, of the world's way of living, is devoid of any divine viewpoint solutions. And so the Supreme Court of Heaven is not even existent in the world's way of thinking. And so in the world's way of thinking, this is called evil. Cosmic system is evil. It's following evil, and it can destroy free societies because it removes the number one thing that all society needs to function, and that's legitimate authority. Without legitimate authority, we can't function. But in the cosmic system, authority becomes the enemy. And you know that freedom without authority is tyranny. Freedom without authority is tyranny. It's anarchy. So you can't live like that. And so authority without freedom is tyranny, and freedom without authority is anarchy. I guess that's what I'm trying to say to you. But my hair got over my eye teeth. I couldn't exactly see what I was saying there. Hope you got a sense of humor. So evil can destroy a free society like in America by removing all of our legitimate authority. And so that's why we have to be so careful. Now, grace, remember this. Evil, the genius of Satan. Grace, the genius of God. Okay, you with me? So just like grace represents the genius of God in relation to the human race, then evil represents the genius of Satan in relationship to the human race. So God loves you. God provides eternal life for you through Jesus Christ. But Satan would try to use you to vilify Christ and justify himself. You're the puppet here. You're the one that Satan's trying to manipulate. You're the one that Satan's trying to use. But God never tries to manipulate you. God just offers you eternal life. God offers you forgiveness. God offers you freedom in Christ. And you can think divine viewpoint, which is God's way of thinking, or under the concept of evil, you can think human viewpoint. Divine viewpoint is related to the Bible. And what does God say? It's thinking the Word of God, where the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." But human viewpoint, that's thinking evil. That's the genius of Satan. That's thinking, well, you know, if we can, through this socialistic concept or through this philosophy, we can cure the ills of all society. We can redistribute the wealth. We can give everybody health care. We can take away all the guns. We can yada, 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 and make a utopian society on this world. That's exactly what Satan wants. That's his ticket out of the lake of fire. But unfortunately, he can't control man's volition, and it won't work. So in spite of what some politician promises, in spite of whatever the agenda may be, man is defiled, man is sinful, and it's just not going to work, even though this human viewpoint thinking saturates our society. It dishonors the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the issue that you and I are faced with, you better buckle your seatbelt here. This is the real issue in our society. The real issue is thought versus thought. Did you hear that? It's thought versus thought. They think one way, we think one way. Are you thinking divine viewpoint? are you thinking human viewpoint? Human viewpoint is originated by the genius of Satan, and it's called evil. It's a rewards-based society. Divine viewpoint, it's originated by the grace of God, and it is free. No gimmicks, no games, no strings attached. And so the bottom line is, what do you think? That's the bottom line. And the Bible asks a legitimate question. What think you of Christ? The first thing you have to consider are the claims of God in saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Then you consider the claims of Christ when he claimed to be the Son of God. Is he or is he not? What is your thinking about that? It's thought versus thought. There's always going to be a battle to control what you're thinking. And Satan is going to bombard your mind constantly with ideas and concepts in the arena of contention on this planet to manipulate the way that you think into trapping you in evil and believing that his system is actually the way to go. Evil is disguised in many forms. Humanitarianism sometimes can be the disguise of evil. It's the belief that acting for the benefit of others is right and good, and let's commit to improving the life of other people. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with being a humanitarian. The Bible talks about that. But that's not how we change society. We change society by implementing the plan of God, and you're never really going to change society. The course of history is laid out in the Bible. It's plain. We know how this thing's going to end, and it's not going to be some big cosmic meteorite that comes and splats the earth. It's not going to happen that way. It's not going to be the earth having a big meltdown because of this carbon monoxide in the air. The Bible clearly tells us how it's going to end. And so we have these systems that come up, systems of philanthropy that desire to improve the material and social and spiritual welfare of humanity through charitable activities. And we can bid everybody onto the level playing field, and everybody will be friends, and nobody will hate each other anymore, and we'll all get along together. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Nothing can control the volition of man. And religion and legalism and socialism, which is a political system of communal ownership, equal distribution of wealth and goods, some sort of political internationalism of one world government, which the Antichrist himself is going to set up, military suppression, gun control, public welfare, it's not going to change the heart of man. And so it's all evil if you believe that that is what we need to control the concept of an organized society. The whole idea of government trying to abolish sickness, trying to abolish mental health, trying to solve economic problems by legislation, and human solutions are no solutions. Divine solutions are the only solutions. And so only the Word of God can solve the world's problems. But remember, it's the Word of God that we don't want to hear anything about. It's the Word of God that is being marginalized. It's the Word of God that we have to get out of the public arena. Why? What's the big problem with the Ten Commandments? Well, they're offensive. Well, that's right, because they are the Word of God. And evil has a better deal, doesn't it? Well, you can begin to see where I'm going with this. Evil includes social action, government quotas, unbelievable stuff, distortion of laws. It's not the plan of God. The plan of God doesn't revolve around evil. It revolves around the genius of God in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have so many things to say. I'm out of time. If you'll stick around, stay with me next week. We'll continue this, and we'll look more into evil. Until then, it's Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.